We're glad you're listening to Rhema for Today.
The Son can do nothing of Himself. You see, it was only as God the Father through the Holy Spirit would inspire Him or manifest Himself that He could do anything, because He had stripped Himself. The Bible said He laid aside His mighty power and glory when He came into this world. That's the reason He had to be anointed with the Holy Ghost, you know. Now, you see, if we would realize that, then we'd understand. See where this person been said. Now, Brother Hagin knew about that. And now, if he knew this fella didn't pay tithes, how come he knew that one didn't? How come he didn't know that one didn't? Well, I didn't know any of them didn't.
You're listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin with his classic teaching, Healing, How to Receive It, How to Keep It.
Remember there in the Old Testament again about Elisha? You remember Naaman came there, you know, and was healed. And he wanted to give Elisha, you know, so many talents of gold, so many talents of silver, and so many changes of raiment, or we would say suits of clothes, the way we would talk. But he wouldn't take anything. He said it's not time to be receiving gifts. And remember that Elisha had a servant by the name of Gehazi. And he followed, ran after Naaman and overtook him and lied to him and said, after you left, two young prophets came. And though my master wouldn't take anything for himself, he said it'd be all right to take so many talents of gold and so many talents of silver and a couple of changes of raiment, or we'd say a couple of suits of clothes apiece for these two prophets. Well, old Naaman just as thrilled about being healed of this deadly disease that he gave him twice as much as he asked for, didn't he? And then that rascal went out and hid it, because he's lying, and getting it for his own benefit. Then when he stood in the presence of Elisha, the prophet, Elisha asked him, where have you been? He said, nowhere, my master. And he said, my spirit went with you when you joined yourself to that chariot. See, he saw it in the spirit. Now you stop and reflect upon that just a minute. Here this fellow Gehazi is with Elisha the prophet every day, every single day. Well now, if the prophet, because he's a prophet, because he stands in that office, if he always knows everything about everybody, well, wouldn't he have been a fool? I mean, you know, he's not stupid. He wouldn't have tried that, would he? I said, would he? Why, he'd already, he would have been 100% certain ahead of time he'd been caught up with. No, it is only as the Spirit wills. Now, here's what somebody said. Now, I don't understand that. Now, how come Brother Hagin to know that that fellow didn't pay his tithes and the third person afterwards that he prayed for didn't pay tithes and he never said a word to them? And then five more people down the line, member of this same church, and they don't support the church or pay tithes, and he never said a word to them, just went ahead and prayed for them. Now, if he knew that about this one, why didn't he know that about that one? See? Well, it's not a matter of what I knew or what I didn't do. It's a matter of what the Lord revealed to me. You see, Jesus himself said, and we've been reading that in these classes heretofore. I didn't get through with everything I wanted to say. That's the reason I'm picking up again here. If you'd turn to that fifth chapter of John's Gospel, we read about Jesus at the pool of Bethesda and about the healing of a man there. But you get down to the 19th verse. Look at that 19th verse of the 5th chapter of John. The 19th verse of the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son, capital S-O-N, talking about Himself, the Son of God, can do nothing of Himself. The Son can do nothing of Himself. You see, it was only as God the Father through the Holy Spirit would inspire Him or manifest Himself that He could do anything, because He had stripped Himself. The Bible said He laid aside His mighty power and glory when He came into this world. That's the reason He had to be anointed with the Holy Ghost, you know. Now, you see, if we would realize that, then we'd understand. See where this person been said. Now, Brother Hagin knew about that. And now, if he knew this fella didn't pay tithes, how come he knew that one didn't? How come he didn't know that one didn't? Well, I didn't know any of them didn't. You see, well, how come God to reveal that? Well, I don't know. I'm not God. I do know some spiritual truths, however, that the more light one has, the more is required of them. Are you listening? See, more is required of some people in many areas than others because they know more. The Bible teaches us, you can't get away from that Bible fact that the Bible teaches us is a similarity between spiritual growth and physical growth. The Bible plainly says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The Bible again says, be no longer children. You see, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. But the Bible talks about growing up into him. The King James says, unto a perfect man. That's a little blind to us, because nobody in this world has ever become perfect. But actually, the Greek word is a mature man, full grown. Hallelujah. Christian, he's talking about, see. Well, in the natural, you require more. You know, like you require more, you expect more. You require more out of a 14-month-old child than you would a 4-month-old child. You require more out of a 14-year-old child than you do a 4-year-old. You expect more out of a 24-year-old than you do a 14-year-old. And you even expect more out of a 34-year-old than you do a 24. You know, you ought to grow. Mentally, at least. Isn't that true? See, you'd think nothing at all now. A little 4-month-old child being held in his mother's lap. And you might not think a whole lot about a 14-month-old, but what about a 14-year-old sitting in his mama's lap, taking the bottle? Everybody be looking, say, there's something wrong there. And a 14-year-old boy or girl, either one. You know, they reach that age, they're sort of a teenager and stumble over their own feet. But a 24-year-old, you expect them, you know, to sit down and act a little bit better than a teenager does a lot of times. Don't you? Well, do you suppose God is any more unreasonable than we are, or reasonable, either one? No, more is required. See, this man evidently knew more and had more light. God expected more of him. See, that's what he was wrestling about in his conscience. Somebody else that didn't even know about some truths might not bother him at all. Now the time will come and God will have to deal with him about something. What am I saying to you is this. Jesus spit on the ground, made clay of the spittle, said to the man, go wash it off, and I'll come again seeing. If he hadn't obeyed, he wouldn't have been healed. Sometimes in many areas, there's an act of obedience that has to come first before a person can be healed. Are you listening to me? Now, we need to realize that. John Lake says one time that he was praying with a fellow. In fact, he'd prayed with him several times. This man came for healing. Among other things, he had sugar diabetes, or he was a diabetic. And that is the benefit, you see, of ministering to people more than once, and the people being in services where the Spirit of God is in manifestation. Of course, this man, Lake, didn't have service every day, but at least they would come and they would talk to him. In other words, he had what they call healing rooms. He'd run sort of like a doctor's office. You'd check in with the receptionist, and then you may go to a room and talk to somebody, and they'd pray with you. And then he'd have so many lives. They're not every day, but 2 or 3 of them a week of service, all like we're having here. But otherwise, they'd just deal with them like we do in counseling on a one-to-one basis. Of course, Lake couldn't deal with all of them. He had workers there, and you know, no other man could, or person. But he happened to be praying with this fella. And if I remember correctly, I think this is about the third time that he had prayed with him. And so he just stopped and said to him, what is this $5,000 that keeps coming up before me? See, in his spirit, it just kept rising up. The man said, well, my brother and I were in business together, and he was an older brother, and he died. And so I had furnished the money. I was a partner, and you know, and he did the work. But now we're partners, you know, we just split it even, the profits and so on. His wife didn't want to carry the business on. She knew nothing about it. She just told me, you go ahead and just liquidate everything, sell out, you know. And so he said, I didn't say anything to her, but I felt like, well, I put in some extra work here, and I just kept $5,000 of her part back. Of course, she didn't know the difference, you know. And the Spirit of God was telling off on him, you see. And so Lake said, I said to him, well, do you have $5,000 in the bank? Oh, yeah, I got much more than that. Well, he said, okay, you have your checkbook with you? Yeah. He said, okay, write out a check for $5,000, make it out to your sister-in-law, and you can get an envelope over there off of that desk and address it to her and go down here and mail it. In fact, there's a stamp. Go down and mail it on the corner mailbox and come back and I'll pray for you. See, we rush into praying for some people too quickly. Amen. Now, see, we have to. If we're just going to be there a few days like our healing crusades, well, you just have to go ahead. I know ahead of time everybody's not going to get healed. They could, but they're not, because they're not always in position to do so. But you see, you don't have time to teach them, and you'll get a certain percent of them healed. Just like I know you're not going to get everybody saved, but you know, they could all get saved. But you know from experience you're not going to get everybody saved. But those that will respond, you'll get a certain percent of them saved. You still out there? So the man went and mailed that check to his sister-in-law, came back late and laid hands on him, and is instantly healed, made perfect. So we need to realize, that's the point I'm making right now, that there is an obedience. Now there's something else I believe the Lord wants me to emphasize today, and I'm just not teaching these weeks from notes. Now I did open my notebook up here, but I haven't said anything that's there yet. I may get around to it next week sometime. But I'm just endeavoring to follow the Spirit of God in this. And there's something else I know in my spirit the Lord wants me to emphasize. So we was right there in that 19th verse of this 5th chapter of John. Now, let's go back and read again. I know we've read this before, but I want to emphasize something here. You see, let's just start in with the first verse of this 5th chapter again. After this is the first verse of the 5th chapter of John's Gospel. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, you see, I want you to notice now that this actually happened. Somebody asked me one time, I said, what do you think about that? Well, I said, I don't think anything about it. This fellow told me, he said, oh, you're bound to have some thought, talking about this scripture here. Read it to me. He said, what do you think about it? Read just where I read, right down there. Stop. I said, well, I don't think anything. Oh, you're bound to. No, I said, no. Well, he said, you're bound to. You think it happened, didn't I? I said, no, I don't think anything about it at all. I just know it happened like the Bible said it happened.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. This month we're offering Kenneth E. Hagin's book entitled Mountain Moving Faith. We're also offering Lynette Hagin's CD, Navigating Life Without Stress. Last but not least is Kenneth W. Hagin's CD entitled, When the Enemy is Coming After You. All these items at the special price of $20. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. Rhema. Or you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
Living Faith Conferences. We're going to be March the 24th through the 26th. It won't be too long. Yeah. Las Vegas, Nevada, Word of Life Christian Center. There's Pastors David and Vicki Sharon.
Right.
And then we are going to Arizona.
Right. To Chandler, which is a part of the Phoenix area. That's 27th through 29th at Faith Family Church there. Pastors Andy and Deb White. So, hey, you come on out and be with us, okay?
Tomorrow, more from Kenneth E. Hagin with his classic teaching, Healing, How to Receive It, How to Keep It. If you'd like, you can visit our online bookstore at rhema.org. Thanks for listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.